Welcome to the Elliot Jolish Hour. Elliot is the business therapist, giving you access to the greatest business minds in the world. Elliot and his sources provide insight to help your business maintain a healthy life. It's therapy for your business, and it starts now. Here's Elliot Jolish.
Welcome to the Elliot Jolish Hour. We have a fantastic show this first show in 2016. Happy New Year to everybody. Hope you all had a great celebration this past few days. Here we are now. It's back to work, right? But let's not forget about all the successes we had in 2015, and let's aim our ship towards the conclusion of 2016 that we're going to have a better year than we did in 2015. So what do we need to talk about today? First of all, this is, again, Elliot Jolish. Please check me out at ecjgroup.com. That's my website. I am a business coach. I'm the business therapist. I help companies and individuals get to that next level, whatever that level may be for them. So what do we need to do right now? We need to go back to 2015 just for a brief minute and go through and look at your metrics. What were your goals? Did you make your goals? If so, by how much? Did you kind of just sneak in at the last minute, or did you blow them out of the water? And how do they compare to your 2016 goals? Go take a look at your financials for 2015. It is not too early to get your financials done. First of all, they'll be fresh in your head. Even if you don't turn them over to your CPA for tax purposes yet, you want them fresh in your head so that you can make sure you understand and take notes on anything that you may have to explain to them in the next 30, 60, 90 days, depending on when you get it to them. Obviously, whenever you're reporting tax structures, depending on where you are and what country you're in, and what the due dates are, and that's all something you have to work out with your accountant or CPA. But it's a good time to go back and take a few minutes to reflect on 2015, what went right and what went wrong, and make a list. Put basically a list of these are the things that were good and went right, and then create another list. These are the things that we need to improve on. What are those items? Take them apart. Figure out, why did you have issues? Was it customer relations? Was it your sales process? Was it product development or processing? Did you not get orders out as fast as you'd like to if you're selling a product? If you're delivering a service, was your delivery not up to expectations of what the type of delivery you would expect somebody to give you? Those are all things you need to sit back and review and document. You have to write this stuff down so that you remember it. Put a binder together so you can put all your notes for that year in that binder. And then you can go back and review them whenever you need to so that you understand where you've been and where you're headed. Now, I'm a firm believer of always pointing the ship forward. If you're in a car, let's just face it. When you're driving in a car, which is the bigger window? The little rearview mirror you look at to see what's behind you, or the big windshield in front so you can see where you're headed? Of course, the obvious answer is the big windshield, and you're always looking forward. And you use that rearview mirror just to make sure that nothing sneaks up on you and to kind of see where you've been. And that's the thing. This will be the last time I talk about 2015. I may bring it up next Tuesday just as one more reminder that these are things that need to be documented, whatever went right and what went wrong and where improvements need to be made. And then we'll put 2015 away. We'll pack it up in a box, tie it up, and put it on the shelf. Now, that doesn't mean you have to forget everything. You still have to recognize what all the good pieces and reward yourself for that. But you also have to recognize where the areas of improvement and what needs to be done to get improvement. Do you need to say no more often? Do you need to get more help? Do you need to outsource some of the things you're doing so that you have more time to do what you do best, whether it's marketing or selling or whatever? Those are all questions you have to sit down and ask yourself. Are you looking for a bigger client base? What do you have to do to attract that client base? Is your marketing calendar prepared for 2016? These are all questions that you need to kind of have answered. And this is a good week to do it, though. Let's not forget, you are now in 2016. And this month counts towards your goal for 2016. So one of the things I was planning to do for this hour was to talk a little bit more about annual goals. We talk about it a lot. because it's extremely important. Because without the proper development of your goals, without understanding how to make them work and how to follow through on them, you cannot succeed in your goals. It just becomes very difficult. I won't say you can't. It's very difficult, much more difficult than it should be. And now, all right, you're only 360 days away, 59 days away from 2017. It's not too early to start looking at 2017 goals. In fact, I don't think it's too early to look at 2020 goals. Where do you want your company to be by the year 2020? This is an opportune time to sit down, and while you're actually reviewing your 15, what you did right and wrong, and what 16, what plans you have to make things better and get those goals out there, it's a perfect time for 20 to get to look at 2020 and says, here's where I want to be in 2020. Now, I don't know. You might have want to, by 2020, you might want to have sold your business and be sitting on the beach drinking Mai Tais or some other nice alcoholic beverage or non-alcoholic beverage, whatever you choose. But based on that, you have to say, okay, if I'm going to sell my business in 2020, what do I have to do between now, today, January, what is today, the 4th, 5th, excuse me, 2016, and we'll say March 15th, 2020, where I want to have my business sold. It's not that long a time. It sounds like it could be considered, it's 4 years, but look where you were 4 years ago. It's 2016 now, so where were you in 2012? It's not that long ago. So these are all issues that you have to address, and the more you document it, the more you write it down so that you can review it and change it. Now, your plans between now and 2020 are not in stone by any means. I wouldn't call them in quicksand either. Maybe sandstone, because they're malleable, they're changeable. You might find out as you get moving that you want to sell the business in 2019, or you might decide you're having such a fun time and you don't know, and you really don't like sitting on the beach drinking Mai Tais, that you're not going to sell the business in 2020. You're going to take it on a few more years. Or you might decide by 2020 that, yeah, you want to slow down so you can have some more time. You want to travel, but you still don't want to sell the business, but you want to either turn it over to family or start bringing in some other people to start running it so that you can eventually step down completely. These are all issues that you have to kind of consider and figure out what has to be done to make this all happen. So what we'll do the rest of this this period here, the rest of the hour, is talk a little bit more about how I go about working with a group or an individual with annual goals review. It's a very important subject. It kind of sets the stage for how you are going to run your business for the entire year. And the more successful you are and the more truthful you are with yourself when you're designing your goals, the better the situation will be and the easier it will be for you to accomplish those goals. So that's very important. So as we get started, again, if you have questions of things that we're talking about, please feel free to drop me an email. Email me at questions@ecjgroup.com. I'm on LinkedIn as well under the ECJ Group and, again, Elliot Jolish. I'll respond to your emails. I'll read them on the air if I think it appropriate. And if you don't want it read on the air, just put in the email that you prefer not discussing it on the air. And I'll be happy to discuss it with you through email or even on a Skype call if that's the appropriate thing. I always do initial calls. There's no charge for an initial consult. And if we decide to work together after that, then I'll go across my talk about my fees and the processes of what we do. So how would you go about? So what I do when I'm going about talking about annual goals review is one of the first things that I work with is, first of all, we go back and decide, what are we doing for annual goals review? Is it a one-on-one? Is it a company environment where you've got four or five people, or is it a group of departments and we've got a large group that we need to deal with? And then I determine, how do we want to break it up? Because I can do this program in 8 hours. I can do it. It normally takes about 12, but I can create it in a one-day program. It pushes a little bit. There is a little bit of homework that you have to come in and have already done when we start working together. But it is feasible. But the biggest thing that I talk to people about is understanding your mission and your vision, and even that, understanding what your values are. We spend a lot of time on this. A lot of this has to be done ahead of time if we're doing a one-day program. But I'm going to set this up that we're going to do several weeks, 3 to 4 hour sessions, so that there's time in between kind of to do the work instead of you having to do the work prior to us starting. And the most important thing that we will always start with is understanding what goals review is, what the purpose of it is. My understanding, and the one thing that I always tell people, is that the goals are a living, breathing document. They are always malleable and changeable, because things will happen as you're moving through your processes that could force them to change. Sometimes that's a change within your control, and other times it's a change completely out of your control. For those of you that may be aware of it, we Christmas Day here 2 weeks ago, not quite 10 days ago, was a gorgeous day, 80 degrees. And yet Saturday, the day after Christmas, Saturday night, we had 9 tornadoes hit in this area, none thankfully around me. And there were people that literally lost houses. Part of a town, we unfortunately had 11 lives lost in this area. And all of their change and all their plans immediately got stopped and changed in a drastic manner. And if you're self-employed, or you work for yourself, or you have a small company in that area, that's a tremendous problem that you have to deal with. So we'll get back and talk about SMART goals and how they work and things that you have to do in preparing them after we have a station break coming up right here. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist. You're listening on OTR-FM, and we'll be back right after these messages.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the iOhm Radio Network.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OHM Times Radio.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Being a radio host on iOhm FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OHM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OHM Times endeavor. Host your show with OHM Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the iOhm Radio Network.
Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist. Again, I want to thank you for joining me in this first episode of 2016. And we're talking about goals review and how to write goals and all the steps and processes that I work with when I'm taking a company or an individual through the whole process. So one of the things I'd like to talk about before we really delve into this is you probably have heard the term SMART goals before, and a lot of people use that term. I've changed the term or worked with some people on this, and instead of just calling them SMART goals, we're calling them Why SMART. So Why SMART adds a few more pieces to them, because SMART is specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. So what's the why part of SMART? Well, why means why adds some pieces to it. One is they're written. You can't have a goal that's not written down. That doesn't work. To think about it in your head just doesn't make it a goal. It has to be on paper or on a bulletin board or somewhere where you can see it and recognize the situation. I recommend people, if you have a whiteboard, you write the goal up in shorthand, in a manner of speaking, so the end result of what the goal is going to be and the time, and you put it on a whiteboard, and then you break that down so into a measurable pattern so you can start working on your metrics from the get-go. It's got to be harmonious, so it's got to be in sync with your vision and mission of what you want to do and what you're trying to accomplish, and it has to be yours. Can't be somebody else's. You can't take an idea from somebody else and kind of meld their goal into working for you. It's got to be something that you've sat down and figured out what's the right way to do this and how am I going to accomplish it. So if we add that and make it a why SMART goal, it makes it a much more understanding process. And then I've got some worksheets that I've developed that allow you to go through, write what the goal is, figure out what the obstacles are, figure out how you're going to address the obstacles, whether it's something you're going to address or you're going to outsource it. And the outsourcing can be to literally a vendor, or it could be to an employee. So as we get started on when we get started on any type of goal review, I always go back to the company or the individual, and I ask them to put together a mission and a vision statement. And sometimes I get kind of a blank look as to, well, I don't understand what you mean. What's the difference between a mission and a vision statement? So basically speaking, the vision statement is the dream. It's what you want to accomplish. The mission statement provides the specifics necessary. Okay, it's the steps that you have to take to make that vision accomplishable. And both pieces have to be there. So a mission statement has to have a time frame. It has to indicate exactly what you're going to do. You're going to increase, you're going to decrease, you're going to prevent, you're going to eliminate, you're going to promote something. It identifies the problem or condition of why you're in business or what your vision is. It relates back to the vision. And it identifies the opportunity of what you're trying to accomplish. So you ask then, what's the vision? The vision is what's going to make your business more successful. That basically, you use adjectives for the description, and you're describing, in a lot of cases, I'll ask people, what's unique to your business? What is your unique selling proposition? That's another area we get into a lot, especially when we talk about selling. Unique selling proposition is what makes your widgets better than somebody else's widgets. Why are you a better hairdresser than the hairdresser down the street? Why are you a better real estate salesperson or mortgage salesperson or jeweler or baker, you name it? It's what's unique to you. You know, why are you a better chef? What panache, you might say, can you add or do you do in your cooking to make you stand out from the crowd? So a lot of that, of course, all boils down to vision and what your unique talent is. Do you have a talent that nobody else has? That's a little hard to believe anymore, because there are a lot of people doing a lot of things, but maybe you take a special spin on your talent. Now, that doesn't mean there are artists and other people out there that do have some very special talents. I heard a news story the other day, or basically an entertainment piece, about this 12-year-old jazz pianist. I believe his name's Joey Alexander, I think it is, and I would highly recommend you look him up on YouTube. Phenomenal. If you like jazz, you will love what he can do. And he's 12 years old, which is amazing. And he's been doing this for several years. But anyway, I digress. So we'll spend couple hours usually on talking about visioning and mission statements. And from that, will help us go through. And one of the things I always like to talk to people is we have to look at your values. What kind of values do you have? And if we're working in a group and I hand out a sheet, and on that sheet is a list of about 60, maybe more than that, almost 90 different values. Now, what do I mean by values? Well, I'm going to read just a few of them. I'm not going to read the whole list here. It would take too long, and it wouldn't make any sense to from that standpoint. But flexibility, profitability, intelligence, communication, security, hard work, ethics, these are all things that that you as an individual should value. So the key here that when I'm working with a company or individuals, and this is all, of course, still on an individual basis, and if we're working in a company environment, we take everybody's individual responses and work them into a company response. And sometimes we notice some glaring problems that the company's mission and vision doesn't reflect in their values, or vice versa. So those are all things that we have to go back and kind of peel away the onion a little bit and figure out where's the differential, what's going on. Is there some miscommunication within the company itself, which I find can be an issue, that companies are out there moving forward and their staff and the people that work for the company are not necessarily aware of the mission and vision, or the mission and vision has slightly been modified either by the staff sometimes, not intentionally, but as they're moving through things, stuff like that happens. Or worse than that, the company makes some changes at the upper level and fails to communicate it to the rest of the staff. Depends on the size of the company. Or the owner of the company makes some changes in his thought processes and fails to pass it on to his employees. It becomes a very interesting problem. And it also, a lot of times, will explain why there can be issues within a company. So we take this list of values, of things that you value, and I ask you to pick 10 words that are most important to you. And after you've got the 10, you review them again and pick your top 5. While the others may have value, you're focusing on your core values, which are the top 5. And that, I'll give people 20 to 30 minutes to sit down and kind of figure that one out, because that takes some soul searching, I think, in a lot of cases. Sometimes, if we do this in an 8-hour day, what I'll do is I'll have you work through some of this pre-meeting. So it's very important that you get this kind of work done. And then from that, that will help us build our critical goal categories. And from the critical goal categories, and that all boils back to our mission. So the other thing that I find very important when I'm working with annual goals review is what I call, and what is called, a dream inventory. Again, this works with a company environment as well as in an individual environment, but we all deal with it from an individual basis. So even in a company environment, you're individually filling out a dream inventory. And then a lot of times we will take everybody's dream inventory without names on it, so you don't know whose is who, and then merge them together to see how much of it meshes with the company's mission and vision. So when I ask what your dream inventory is, I'll always ask you to start putting out at least 20 items on your dream inventory. These are things that you have accomplished and or want to accomplish. Now, what would you put on a dream inventory? Well, you learned how to ride a bike when you were 5. That's an accomplishment. So we're not just dealing with dreams. We're looking at accomplishments as well, things that you have done successfully. You know, you got married, you had children. Those are all accomplishments that you would probably put on some type of dream inventory. If you're not married already, it might be you want to get married and have 3 kids. That could be one of your dreams, and travel. Or they're also, I mean, anybody's dream is just that, anybody's dream. And a lot of this, particularly when you're working in a company environment, helps to identify a life, business, or life, workplace, or organization, or balance. That's what I'm trying to word. My words escape me at my time, my thought process. So we're looking at a life-work balance so that you as an individual can accomplish your dreams and yet the business itself or organization can accomplish their dreams and their expectations too. And occasionally we find people that are in an organizational structure that decide I'm in the wrong place. And that's okay. You know, if you recognize it and do something about it, whether you decide you're going to change and fit the what the company wants, or that you're going to go out and find your own dreams and leave the company, both are acceptable situations. It's something, it's a process that has to kind of be delved through, and that you sit down and kind of think about. And I tell people, particularly if we're doing this over several weeks, that this is not a 15 or 20 minute process. This could take days. That it's going to take you that sit down and you figure out for 15, 20 minutes and you just write. And then you put it away and come back to it the next day or 2 days later and see what you've written and maybe write some more or maybe change what you've written. Some of the clients I work with, when they get stuck or they get in a situation that they're uncomfortable with, one of the things I always like to recommend to them is that they write. Get themselves a pad of paper, a notebook, and just write. And I don't mean they have to write about the business. They just need to write what's on their mind. I'm a big believer in that, in expressing your thoughts and helps get things cleared up. Also looking at meditation, I'm a big believer in affirmations and in rewarding yourself through words. And I always believe that you should have two or three affirmations that you firmly believe in and that want to follow posted where you can see them, whether it be at your desk or on your mirror at home, or carry it in your pocket so that you can look at it all the time. These are all very important to a person's individual thought process. So we'll continue this discussion after these breaks. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, and you're listening on OTR-FM. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors. Connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
The name is Bond, James Bond.
No, the name is Joe, The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on OMTimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go. Yeah!
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
And we've been talking about annual goals review and the processes I go through when I'm working with clients on how to make create your goals. And it means, as I'll backstep a little bit here, that you work through your mission and your vision. And we were taught, and you understand what your values are and what your core values and what's the most important thing to get to what you want to get accomplished. And there's always the challenge of the work-life balance that I always work with people on. the idea of working 60 to 80 hours to me doesn't necessarily follow through. You know, for some entrepreneurs, it works well if you have no family, but even that, you're short. I think you're short sheeting yourself. You're not being able to take on the successes of the world. You're not able to enjoy life. So it's important, I think, that you set some boundaries so that you take some time for refreshing yourself and for recharging your engines. It's a very important piece. And one of those is I was talking about earlier was the dream inventory, and having a dream inventory and kind of where you want to go. It was very important. And let me make some clarities here, exactly what we're talking about when we define the word dream. And this is from Webster's, and I'm going to read this, so excuse me for this. A dream is considered or defined as a series of images, ideas, and emotions occurring involuntarily during certain stages of sleep. A daydream, of course, a state of abstraction, a wild fantasy or hope, a condition or achievement that is longed for, an aspiration. That's the one we're aiming for. So a condition or achievement that is longed for, an aspiration. And the other one might be considered one that is exceptionally gratifying, excellent, or beautiful. So when I talk about the dream inventory, one of the things that I always tell people is I kind of give them some feeder questions, kind of the dare to dream approach. And we break it into categories. And I'm not going to go through and read all of these. That doesn't make any sense here. If you, again, were to consider taking this program, we would go through it in detail. But there's mental, there's social or hobbies, there's physical, there's financial, there's family life, there's ethics and beliefs, and there's general. So what kind of questions would you think I would ask in general? Well, what things do you want to own? What type of car do you want to drive? What kind of restaurants do you want to be able to go to? Backing up into that, your ethics, I'd ask you, what would you like your ethical and spiritual life to be like? What core values would you change? Now, we just talked about the core values. We knocked those 10 lists from there down to 5. After you go through some of this, you may decide, well, wait a minute. Maybe I picked the wrong core value. That's okay. You just have to identify and figure out what do I need to do to change it. Or maybe you don't like the core value you chose. You want to stick to it, but you don't like the way you're doing it. And those are things you just have. That's something that nobody else can answer but you. From a family life, what changes do you want to make to your home or to your family? Do you want more kids? What do you want to be able to provide for your kids? Your financial career, what kind of professional development do you want? How much money in the bank do you want to have? And this can be hard numbers. This is not necessarily all fantasy. These are all hard numbers that you come up with. This is where you start setting your goals. So you want $5 million in the bank by the time you're 65. So when you retire, you don't have to look back. Now, I can't tell you right now if you're 25, if $5 million is going to be enough by the time you retire in what, 35 years or 30 years, excuse me. No, 40 years, actually. I can't. I was right the first time. No, I wasn't. Anyway, sorry about that. I get into an argument with myself sometimes and nobody wins. So these are all things that you have to sit down and just consider that. And it's all part of your goal. So, you know, if you're 25 years old, does it make sense to have a goal for when you're 65? Of course it does. Again, it's not written in stone or concrete. It can be changed. It's malleable. But you have to have some direction as to where to go and how to get there. So if you're 25 years old and you want $5 million in the bank when you're 65, and you have $1,000 in the bank right now, what are you going to do to get to that 5 million? What do you have to do to stay on track to that? These are all very important pieces. Now, in the days when I was 25 or even younger, you know, we all thought, okay, you graduate from college, you go to work for a nice company, they have a nice retirement program, and 30 years or 40 years later, you retire and they give you a gold watch and a pension. And that pension, while maybe not $5 million, will support you for the rest of your life. Yeah. Unfortunately, those dreams are gone. Long gone. Out of my control, too. Would I have liked to dream like that? Yeah. Maybe if I had wanted to work for corporate America, but I chose not to work for corporate America. I did work for corporate America a little bit, but decided I wanted to do more fun things. I've worked for school districts. That's like working. That's worse than working for corporate America sometimes, particularly the larger school districts, but we won't go there. That's a topic for off the air discussion. If anybody wants to know my thought process of school districts, and yes, there's a lot of things wrong with them. There's a lot of things wrong with the whole educational system, but that's a whole nother program on another show. Anyway, I digress. It's very important that you establish goals along the way. So even if you're looking at 25 and you're looking 40 years from now, I want 5 million. Okay, so 40 years. So in 20 years, so by the time I'm 45, I got to have $2.5 million in the bank, right? Something of that nature, or maybe 2 million, somewhere along that line, so that I can make that 5 million by the time I'm 65. Now, how do I go about doing that? So every time what I'm going to look at is one of the most important things is from, if we define it as a why smart goal. Now, why do I need $5 million? Okay, I want to live a life that I think I deserve by then. I want to be able to retire and not have to work and presuming I retire at 65 and I'm going to live for another, let's say 20 years, that's 85. Is $5 million enough to live off of? I can't answer that question. That depends on your lifestyle, and you'll have to kind of fit pieces into a puzzle there and guess a little bit, because we don't know what's going to be like 20 years from now. I mean, it's 2016, and in 20 years, 2036, you know, I will be much older. All right, I'll give it in. Next month I'll be 63, so I would be 83. I doubt I'll be on the radio station at the time. I'm not even sure what kind of how radio stations will be 20 years from now. Look at 20 years ago and what they were. And look at 20 years before that. Look at 40 years ago. FM was just developing. AM was the place. There was no cable. There was no internet radio. I mean, things will change drastically in the next 40 years. There's no doubt about that in my mind. That what we're seeing right now will be, we couldn't even dream, I think, what we'll see in 40 years. And that's what can be exciting about all this, because as long as you recognize that you have your goals are stepped in stages. So I have a goal for 2016. It's a goal I have to accomplish as far as I'm concerned. And I've actually got pieces of goals that I have 90 days from now and 6 months from now. So 120 days. So by the end of March and by the end of June, I have goals, and that's about it. I've got three basic goals that I'm wanting to do. And then I've got a goal for 2020, and I've got a goal for 2025. All of things that, based on a lot of it, my age and what I'm doing now and how I'm working with businesses and where I want to grow my business and what do I want to be able to do. Those are all very important things, and that's something you have to sit down and figure out, what do I want to do? And if you're in business for yourself, you have to figure that out for you. You have a double challenge, because you have to do it for your business as well as for your personal life. And if you're married and you have a family, you have to do it at least for your spouse and figure out, are they on the same path as you are with your goals? And decide, where do we meet? Where do we don't meet? I was talking to a friend of mine who happens to be, he's a realtor, but he specializes in divorce realty. And he says, today or this week is one of those weeks that he's talked to a lot of attorneys that a lot of divorces start processing because they just went through the holidays and they came out on the backside and decided they don't want to be married anymore. So, and of course, nowadays we also have the issue where we've got people living together and not getting married, which creates bigger issues from a property standpoint. But that's a whole nother story. And I would tell you to talk to an attorney about that if that's the situation you're involved in. Just like I would recommend you talk to a CPA as far as your accounting processes and any of your personal wealth issues that might pertain to a family situation. So I'm not an expert in either one of those, nor do I claim to be. So when you looking at your the processes of going through goals review, and even though we're calling this annual goals review, because what we're looking at right now is for this coming year, for 2016, it's very important you start putting some pieces of the puzzle together and writing them down. I would almost say get a journal, get some type of notebook that you can put notes into, and then create some separations, some dividers, and put a piece of paper in there and label it 2016, and maybe another one for 2020 and another one for 2024 or 25, and start writing some ideas on it. I had, and some people will call this a bucket list, things that you want to get accomplished. I have a bucket list. I had a bucket list that got lost. I had it on a piece of paper and I stuck it in a book. Fortunately, I found it again. And I fulfilled some of the bucket. A lot of things have happened, not necessarily positively on the positive side, things that I would have never considered happening, of course, after I created this bucket list and then misplaced it. But still, I had a bucket list, or a dreams list, or a series of goals, one of which I have accomplished, and I'm still working on it. It's still being developed. While I've accomplished it, it's grown more. And then I'm going back and I'm doing a new list for, again, 4 years from now, and then 10 years from now. So 2020, because that is a better time frame. And then I'm doing 2026, though I may rephrase it to 2025. But those are issues. I mean, based on my age and stuff, you know, I'll be in my 70s by then. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Will I be working? That's a possibility, but I have not figured that one out. Would I like not to work? Probably, but we'll talk about that after the message, these messages. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish. We'll be right back after these messages from OTR FM. Thank you.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgemeer, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits, and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Being a radio host on iOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
to realize here we've got about 10, 12 minutes here to wrap up, and there's a ton of much stuff I wanted to talk about, but we won't have all time. So we'll continue this discussion in the coming weeks. But it's very important that I think that you recognize exactly what purposes you're trying to accomplish when you sit down and try to do any type of annual goals. And as I said, I find it very important to identify long-term goals as well as short-term goals. And short-term goals to me are less, a year or less. And then long-term goals are anything more than a year, but sometimes I'll even break that down and have a midterm or a medium-term goals, which is going to be 2 to 5 years, and then longer-term is 6 years or greater. And again, now my six years and greater goals, my goals that are out there for 10 or 15 years, they don't get reviewed constantly, but they're kind of on the top of my mind a little bit. I go through and I kind of review them at least once or twice a year. If I have a whiteboard that I'm working with, particularly, those goals may sit there on a corner just kind of to remind me my long-term plans. But definitely my current goal or goals, and I usually don't have more than two or three running at the same time just because it's been kind of proven that we're all not very good at multitasking. It's something you have to recognize. We'll talk about time strategies. I don't like calling it time management because you can't manage time. You can't take time and put it away and use it another day. It moves forward and it never looks back. And we'll spend some time in the coming weeks to talk about time strategies. One of the most important things, and I'll get on one sidebar here from time strategies. The most important thing that you could come out of any time strategies program is learn how to say no politely, but recognize that sometimes you do have to say no, that you just can't do everything for everybody. And that includes your boss, that includes your wife, that includes your kids, that includes your friends, that includes your church. You have to make plans and decide, first of all, you have to decide how important it is that you do something. And then you have to decide, if I do this, what do I have to give up? That a lot of times becomes an issue. But we'll talk about that in future shows, I promise. We'll do some discussion on time strategies and what you can do to make things work better. But in finishing up and wrapping up some ideas of goal setting and recognizing what goals are and how to set them, we've talked about mission and visions. We've talked about your core values. Remember, I said why SMART goals, which are written, harmonious, yours, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. So we've already defined the time-bound that for the goals we'll talk about today will be this year's. They're realistic. Now, that term realistic can be a little bit broad. I don't want them to be, I mean, it's okay to have kind of an audacious, wild, hairy goal, but let's have a realistic goal also, one that, you know, if you did $500,000 in sales, you're probably not going to do $4 million in sales this year. It's just not going to be feasible. And if you can do it, great, but let's not set a goal for that. If you did $500,000 in sales this year, then what do you want to do more next year? Do you want to do 10% more? Do you want to do 15% more? Those are more attainable goals, particularly with the marketplace and time frame that we're looking at right now, that we just don't know how the economy is going to drive out with oil prices the way they are right now. And the economy is kind of taking a big pause to see what's happening. I look at saying that if you look at a 15 or 20% increase for a goal from last year, that is realistic. And is it attainable? Can you get to enough people to hit that extra 20% number? And then it brings the most important part. We make it very specific. And a lot of times I don't like necessarily to turn it into a money goal. I'd much rather if I did $500,000 in sales, I'm going to say, how many people did I sell to get to that $500,000? And then, or how many orders did I sell to get to that $500,000? And then how many orders am I going to sell this year to get to my new numbers, as opposed to how much money it's going to make me? But the most important part we can discuss on any of this is making them measurable. You've got to have the tools and the processes in place on how to measure your goals to make sure you're on track. And it's as important from day one or week one. You've got, whether you measure it weekly, monthly, biweekly, I don't care. You have to come up with a system and a plan that works for your environment and for your processing. If from the time you take an order to the time it's delivered takes a month, then you've got some issues you've got to deal with. You may not be able to track deliverables. You may have to track sales. You may want to track deliverables to make sure you're on target, but it also depends on when you get recognized for the sale. Does the sale happen when you actually make it, or does the sale get, or do you get credit for the sale when it's delivered and accepted by the customer? Those are all issues that you have to, that fall into that measurable piece and that attainable piece. You know, if you decide that you've got this large audacious order that you want to get accomplished, can your plant, if you're manufacturing, accomplish it? But can they make that many? Do you have other sources that you can go to if you have to, if you out succeed your capacity? Those are all issues you have to consider. But when, so I always tell people, take your gross numbers, take the numbers that you're trying to attain, whether it be widgets or number of hours number of people you're going to coach, your number of patients you're going to see. If you want to do it in dollars, that creates another little piece that you have to work on, because you have to break the dollars back to how many people you have to get in front of. And how many people, which you still do with the other, but the dollar value makes it a little more complicated. But the processes are all the same. You sit back and you say, okay, this is what it's going to take me to do to get to these numbers. And if I divide that by 12, that gives me my monthly. If I divide it by 52, that gives me my weekly. You divide it by 4, that gives me my quarterly. You've got all sorts of ways to approach it. And then you create, some spreadsheets. Create a spreadsheet of key performance indicators. How many people did you talk to today? Of the people that you talked to, and I don't know. Part of it will depend on how many steps there are in the sales process. In some of the things that I work with, when I'm working with clients, I have 5 or 6 steps that I go through. So, and I have to make sure that I stay on track to those steps and figure out where I am and if I need to move somebody into the next step by pushing them a little bit, I may have to consider that, at the risk of understanding that if I push too hard, I might lose them. And then there's always the possibility that they might go off and then come back 6 months later. I have no necessary control, though. I recognize the fact that because of the type of business I do, that people do kind of hem and haw a little bit or waif a little bit about looking at the value that I can give them. And I always promote my coaching material and coaching processes as a return on investment. My goal is that for every dollar you spend on me, that you will get at least $2 back. Now, will I stop there? No. And if we do everything right and line it up correctly, you can make a lot more. I know some coaching friends that are working with clients that the clients have told them that for every dollar I spend with you, I make $7 back. That is a tremendous return on investment. And the one thing that you've got to recognize when you're working with a coach, that it's not an expense. It is an investment. You're looking for return on investment. And I will do special deals with clients occasionally to where they can pay me based on success. They have to pay up front something, but that's a special case and takes a lot of consideration, both on my part and the client's part, because they have to understand what they're getting themselves involved with. And that one, there is a contract involved. But we go back, and I digress a little bit here, when we're talking about measurable, being able to measure your goals, it's very important that you recognize what your key performance indicators are, what stages and what steps, and how many people do you have to take through each step during the way, and what's your close rate? If you get 10 people at step one and 5 go to step 2 and 3 go to step 3, how many of those 3 do you close? 1. Okay, so now you've got some numbers in figuring out what it's going to take. So out of every 3 you close 1, So now what do I need to do to go back and make sure I meet my numbers? These are all very important. And you may have to sit down with a piece of paper and pencil or an Excel spreadsheet or something to kind of calculate these numbers out and get an idea, and then plug some numbers in and see how they work. And then once you've sampled it, make sure that lock the spreadsheet down and then recognize that weekly you have to update it, maybe even daily. Go look at a car salesman's wall. He's usually got a big bulletin board up there with all the different sales guys' numbers, their names and how many people they talked to and how many cars they sold and what day they've sold them on. And he literally is taking a daily tally and sometimes even a morning and a night tally. So to try to figure out what can we do to get more people in here and sell more cars. It's all very important, but it's all required around having measurable, attainable goals and key performance indicators, KPIs, that are very important. And it's amazing always how fast this hour goes. And we're out of time again. I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you got something good out of the conversation. Feel free to drop me an email at questions@ecjgroup.com. You've been listening to Elliot Jolish on the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist, and you've been listening on OTR FM. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you all next week. Y'all take care. Bye-bye for now.
This is OTR FM.